had found. Richter bent down and examined the print on the ground. It glowed faintly, just as all of the other tracks he had seen, but the color was slightly darker. It didn't have the intensity he had seen in the tracks of sentient beings, but the difference between it and the tracks of normal animals was clear. The print looked a lot like bear tracks that he had seen, but it was twice as big and the claw imprints were much more pronounced.
"What is it?"
he asked Sion quietly. He had no idea how far away this thing was. The tracks looked reasonably fresh.
"It appears to be a really big bear," Sion said.
"Thanks, Kemosabe," Richter said sarcastically. "I thought you might have something more to add."
"Well, I don't," Sion snapped, matching Richter's sarcasm with irritability.
"Hisako said you sprites fought off monsters around the hearth tree all the time."
"Yes, we do. In case you have forgotten, though, Lord Richter, the hearth tree is more than 100 miles south of here. You live in the shadow of the mountains. Who knows what monsters could have come down into the forest because some gyoti decided to reawaken a sleeping place of power."
Richter glared sourly at the sprite before saying, "I can't hear you from all the way down there."
"You will hear me. You will hear me when my arrow goes up your—"
Sion's shouted threat was interrupted by a deep and bellowing roar. Then they heard the sound of snapping branches not more than 40 yards away. The two companions looked at each other and said simultaneously,
"Look what you did!"
"Big bear! Big bear is coming!"
Richter and Sion straightened quickly. Sion ran to a nearby tree and scurried up into the branches. Richter drew his elementum short sword and shouted, "Something is coming!" Most of the party formed up into a loose line with him and prepared their weapons. Bayon hung to the back, cursing and holding his crossbow, and Jean took position beside him. Another roar sounded, and then the beast came into view. Barreling through the thick foliage came a wall of fur and muscle. The basic structure was of a bear, but rather than a shaggy coat, its skin sat taut over powerful muscles like the hide of a lion. Two round ears framed its head, and its large mouth was open and slavering. Richter could see 4 massive fangs as long as his forearm, 2 protruding from the bottom and another set in place of its incisors. Each fang was a pure white, like fresh cream. The pelt was brown in color, and a stripe of spiky hair ran down its length like a mohawk. 3 wicked and long claws tipped each of its 4 paws. The claws were the same color as the fangs. Richter analyzed it. Name: Saber Bear. Disposition: neutral. Saber bears are dangerous predators that are fiercely territorial. They are often found near mines of metallic ore. They are able to ingest this ore and, through a passive use of magic, can digest it to grow their claws and fangs. These natural weapons will be made of the latest metal the bear has ingested. Level 19. Health 810. Mana 120. Stamina 710. Strength 28. Agility 17. Dexterity 22. Constitution 81. Endurance 71. Intelligence 12. Wisdom 7. Charisma 5. Luck 13. Once the saber bear saw the war party, it stopped and looked at them before letting loose another bellow. With its powerful forepaw, it swung at a nearby tree. The trunk was 5 inches in diameter, but it was sliced in half by the razor-sharp claws of the monster. The top half fell to the ground with a resounding thud that they all felt reverberate through the ground. The bear looked at them again. The message was clear. "Y'all stepped into the wrong neighborhood." Richter looked at the downed tree, then back up at the 10-foot-tall animal. "Kill it!" he shouted. Raising his hand, he unleashed his stored weak paralysis beam at the same time that Yulindi fired an ice arrow. The beam struck the bear in its side as Yulindi's arrow struck its right shoulder. The arrow had more of an effect. The bear seemed to just shrug off the paralysis spell. The ice arrow sunk in 2 inches and frost spread out from the wound. The arrow was just a small irritant to the bear, though, only taking off a small fraction of its health. With an irritated bellow, it charged forward. The saber bear crossed the distance to the fighters in 2 long bounds. It had its arm raised to strike Richter when a lightning bolt struck it in the back of the head. Alma pulled out of her bombing run and swooped past the stunned monster. Krom struck it with his hammer as it slumped, and Cedrin jabbed his large spear at its neck. The hammer sunk into the meat of the bear's shoulder with a wet thwack, but even Krom's ebony hammer couldn't force the giant bear to fall. Cedrin's spear pierced its skin but caught on the collarbone, which stopped the thrust before it could sink too deep. At the same time, Jean the Air Mage and Bayon loosed their crossbow bolts. The shots went wide thanks to the panic both men were experiencing. Thankfully, Tirad and Calder kept their heads and moved to either side of the bear, hacking at it with their swords. Richter took advantage of the bear's disorientation to cast Weak Slow. His fingers moved into a new configuration and a word of power flew from his lips. 1 second after he began, the spell completed and a blue glow enveloped the bear for a split second. The stun from Alma's lightning bolt wore off, and it rose to its feet, but its movements were noticeably slower. It roared in anger and pain and swiped at Richter. The Chaos Seed was too close to dodge, but he had enough time to swing his sword up to meet the blow. Green elementum met white moonstone, and the glass blade cut into the bear's paw and severed all three claws. "Guess you should have snacked on Titan steel," Richter thought grimly. The saber bear screamed, and as soon as it brought its paw back down, it surged forward to bite Richter. Its movement was too slow, though, and this time, Richter was able to dance back out of the way. Yulindi shot another arrow, which tore into its cheek and got caught in its thick jaw muscle. Cedrin had lost his spear when it had attacked Richter, so he faded back, but the captain and sergeant continued to attack it from the sides. With a quick dart forward, Calder stabbed it, the blade sinking through muscle into the organs beneath. A gout of blood covered the guard as his weapon did its brutal business. Tirad's target was more surgical. He sliced along the back of the beast's right leg, cutting through muscles, but unfortunately no major tendons were severed. Jean and Bayon were still reloading their crossbows, which actually pleased Krom to no end. Without having to worry about being shot by some amateurs, he raised his heavy weapon again. Howling, he brought the hammer down on the bear's front elbow, which crumpled inward from the blow. The bear crashed to the ground with a deep-throated scream. As soon as it collapsed, a glowing blue bolt struck the creature's back with a loud boom. Calder and Tirad were knocked off their feet by the resulting shockwave and fell onto the ground. Richter moved back in as the creature mewled piteously and cast Soul Trap. Looking up into the trees, he thought, "Finish it, my love." Alma swooped down and latched onto the bear's head. The pitiful mewling turned into a strange keening as Alma mentally drank all of its experiences. Richter moved around to the side and drove his elementum sword into its side. He poked around a few times until the tip of his sword punctured the large monster's heart. It gave a final sigh and died. A rainbow swirl of color rose into the air, spiraling around all of their heads before diving into his bag. Richter withdrew his sword and looked at it. The beauty of its green glass was obscured by bright red blood which extended down to his hand and wrist. He realized with an odd detachment that he must have pushed his hand inside of the animal's body while he was trying to reach its heart. Behind him, Cedrin cheered. To his side, Calder and Tirad good-naturedly argued over whose sword thrusts had been better. He looked to the left and even saw Bayon and Jean exchange sheepish smiles. Richter looked back at his bloody hand and remembered the horrible sounds the animal had made before the end. He understood that this thing was a danger to his people. He understood that he had a responsibility to deal with these kinds of threats before one of his villagers was killed. The animal had seemed so much more real than his other enemies, though. Fighting skeletons, ghouls, rock giants, or a giant skeeling had always seemed like he was battling something unnatural, like he was fighting against the powers of darkness or something. Even killing sentients like the bugbears, nightblades, and kobolds hadn't bothered him overly much. Those situations had always been kill or be killed. Seeing this bear being slowly and bloodily deconstructed, though,
shook up something inside of him. It had just been an animal. A baleful, savage, and magically enhanced animal, but he couldn't say that it was evil. He couldn't justify calling it a monster. Richter looked at the bloody meat in front of him and then back at his red hand, his red sword, and the small drops of scarlet that were dripping from the blade onto the green earth. In his mind, Richter replayed the scream as its elbow snapped, the pathetic mewling as it collapsed to the ground, and the soft whoomp as its last breath left its body. The smell of hot copper was filling his nose, and his tongue experienced the faintest taste of pennies to mix with the nausea broiling down in his stomach. Sion dropped from the tree he had been in while Alma rose in the air, trumpeting her triumph to the world. The sprite walked up to his friend and asked with concern, "Richter, Richter, are you okay?" Richter gave him a slightly sick smile and said, "So what's next?" Chapter 15, Day 103, Keralt 22, 15,368 EBG. Bayon walked forward and picked up one of the severed claws.
"These are pure moonstone. That's amazing. I wonder what else we can find of use in its body."
It looked like he was about to slice into the beast's hide right then and there, but Richter put a stop to it. "We don't have time to carve it up, Bayon." He took a deep breath and steadied himself. "We still have more work to do."
"Do you plan to leave it here to rot?" the gnome asked scathingly.
"No," Richter said. He silently added, "You pain in the ass. We have other options." He checked the village mana pool and saw that it had 873 MP left, more than enough for his purposes. He started his casting. The mists around them coalesced, and soon a mist worker stood before him. "Carry this back to the village as quickly as you can. Go through the gates and then take it to the far eastern edge. Leave the body there. Once you're done, go to the center of the village and wait there until you are commanded to do something. Follow any commands that do not endanger another villager or cause harm to the village." The eastern edge of the village would probably be far enough away from everyone that there wouldn't be any commotion to seeing a giant dead bear bleeding into the ground. It was also near where the hunters cleaned their kills. Perhaps one of them might even show some initiative and carve up the bear for them. As his cousin Yodi had said once, "Bears make good eating." The mist worker walked over to the bear's body, silent, as its name implied. It reached down to grab its body and the gray arms elongated to completely encircle the bear. It easily lifted the carcass in what Richter sardonically realized was a bear hug. Then its face, head, and feet fell backwards into themselves and reemerged opposite to their initial direction. With no other ceremony or delay, it started moving towards the village at the speed of a slow jog. Bayon picked up the other two severed claws and was about to pocket them when Richter said, "Ah-ah!" He made a beckoning gesture and the gnome handed over the three claws with a surly expression. Richter put all three in his bag and then removed a water skin. He poured some in his mouth and then more on his hand and sword. Richter wiped his sword through the grass to remove most of the blood and cleaned most of the rest off on a spare rag from his bag. "Now, when I analyzed that thing, the prompt said that you could normally find it near sources of ore. Those moonstone claws might mean there is a vein of ore near here. I say we follow it back to where it came from."
"That works for me, your lordship," Crumb said happily. "It was a good bit of fun we just found."
The dwarf was cleaning some blood from the head of his hammer with a rag of his own.
"As good a distraction as any," Calder said. "I trust your lordship can lead us. I don't have much skill with tracking."
Richter nodded and was about to tell everyone to move out when Tirad spoke up.
"Sounds good to me too, my lord. I do have to say one thing first, though. You two," he pointed at Jean and Bayon, "do not fire your crossbows unless your lives depend upon it. One of those bolts that you blindly fired whizzed by my head. Now I will hear a yes, captain, or you will spend the rest of this hunt without weapons."
Both of them said, "Yes, captain," and looked down as they abashedly re-cocked their weapons. Tirad nodded to Richter to say he was done. No one else seemed to have anything else to add, so the party rebuffed with weak haste, and they took off with Sion and Richter leading the way.
As they ran, Richter reflected on how his paralysis spell had been rather lackluster. Nonetheless, he wasn't ready to give up on it. If the spell had worked, the fight might have lasted only seconds rather than minutes. He decided to give it another shot. After a bit of focus, the gem on his ring of holding was glowing green again. They continued to move roughly west, and Richter checked the prompts from the last fight. You have been awarded 16,965 experience from Brain Drain against level 19 Saber Bear. For slaying a Saber Bear, you have been awarded 4 war points. Total war points, 4. You have captured Soul Stone of a Saber Bear. Durability, 20 of 20. Item class, common. Soul level, common. Status, filled. Weight, 0.2 kilograms. The experience wasn't enough for either him or Alma to level, but it was valuable nonetheless. The group kept hiking another few minutes, and then Richter saw the Saber Bear's tracks begin to crisscross themselves. He assumed they were getting close. He and Sion spread out, and soon Richter found exactly what he had been looking for. Congratulations, you have discovered an interesting location. You have found Moonstone Ore Deposit. Richter called everyone over and bent down to examine the deposit. A knob of gray-white rock stuck up 2 feet from the ground. White streaks peeked through periodically, showing the metal locked inside of the ore. Claw marks could be seen marring the stone, and a large chunk was missing from one side. Richter picked up a fist-sized rock and received another prompt. You have captured Moonstone Ore, durability 89 of 89, item class common, soul level common, purity unknown, weight 2.6 kilograms.
I see you found it, your lordship, Crumb said, walking up.
Yeah, Richter replied. Doesn't seem like too much, but maybe we can get a few swords out of this. What do you think? Crumb started laughing.
You need to not just judge things by the surface, your lordship. I know that you only see a bit of rock here, but the land, she be a woman of hidden depths, just like me second mistress Alara. That woman could swallow a whole sword, and she proved it many a time, ha ha!
Richter let out a small groan, and Crom just chuckled a bit more before continuing.
Me mining skill is apprentice rank, and it gives me information about ore veins. I can tell you, there be at least several feet of the ore under our feet.
Richter was pleased at the news. Bringing Crom along on the hunt was having unseen benefits. He tossed over the chunk of ore he was holding. Crom deftly caught it and began inspecting the rock. Can you tell me anything about its purity? All I see are question marks.
That I can. You've actually had a good deal of luck. This be lunatite.
Everyone else had spread out. Tirad and Calder were slowly circling their position, keeping watch. Sion started inspecting an orange fungus that was growing out from the side of a tree like stacked shelves. Bayon sat on a nearby rock with a sour expression. Richter just stared at the dwarf, waiting for more.
No doubt your prompt be showing ore, or maybe ore of moonstone. Me mining rank lets me know more specifics. For any given metal, there be multiple types of ore that can be smelted to produce it. For moonstone, the lowest purity ore be wanatite. The concentrations of moonstone be only 3 to 8%. Lunatite, though, be one of the highest purity ores. We can expect concentrations of 65 to 80%.
Richter nodded in understanding. This find was much more valuable than he had thought. So 80% of what's beneath us could be moonstone? He asked excitedly.
Not exactly, your lordship. Ore veins are bound to be mostly rock, but the ore that we find could be that pure. What you should take away is that we should be able to make a fair amount of weaponry with what we have found.
Richter smiled and pulled up a large version of his traveler's map. When the translucent map took up his entire view, he zoomed out until he could see both the village and their position. They were only a few miles away. He made a mark on the map so he wouldn't forget the position of the ore deposit. then minimized it again to take up a small position in the bottom right corner of his vision. He extended his arms and summoned two mistworkers. He thought about what orders to give the simple creatures for a minute. Start digging up this ore. Keep going until you reach any of the following conditions. 1. 24 hours have passed from this moment. 2. You have harvested as much as you can carry back to the village. 3. There is no more ore to be mined. Once any of these conditions are met, go back to the village as quickly as you can without losing any of the ore. Deposit everything you find inside of the city gates. After that, return here and follow the first three instructions. If you are attacked, however, ignore all previous instructions and defend yourself. If you survive, follow the earlier instructions again. Crom spoke up.
It is not uncommon to find jewels when mining ore, your lordship. You should have the mist workers pay special attention to collect any that they find.
Richter was about to thank his smith for the advice when something occurred to him. The other dwarves have been going through the iron mine for weeks now, but I haven't had any jewels turned in. Have I just had bad luck? The bonus from the quickening made that somewhat unlikely. Crom's face adopted a slightly pained expression.
I have not heard about any jewels being found, my lord.
There was just the slightest emphasis placed on heard. Richter said, eyeballing the dwarf. Crom suddenly found the ore he was examining much more interesting and didn't seem to have time to make eye contact. Loudly, Richter said,
Futin! Tell Randy to come up with some procedures to ensure we know exactly what comes out of the mine next time you see him.
As you command, my lord, came the flat reply.
Richter looked at Crom a minute longer before saying, again. Then he shifted his gaze to the mist workers. He added the provision about paying special attention to looking for jewels and then changed one order. Everything that they took back to the village was to be taken to the room of the Great Seal and deposited in a back corner. He was fairly certain that nothing placed there would be disturbed. He hadn't really thought about having to worry about being cheated by his own villagers, but with more than 400 people walking around, he had been foolish not to consider it. At his command, the mist workers started working. Their arms elongated and formed picks at the end. Soon, a constant rhythm could be heard as they chipped away at the ore deposit. The sound was actually quite loud, and the entire war party was ready to be off. Richter's map showed a small stream a couple hundred yards away, so they moved off in that direction. At the stream, everyone refilled their water skins and cleaned off any residual blood from the fight with the saber bear. Richter scrubbed vigorously at his right hand and cleaned as much of the dried blood from beneath his nails as possible. Some of the blood had stained his skin and wouldn't come off. He shrugged and just accepted that it was there. He pulled up his map again and tried to decide their best course. There were several notable locations within 20 miles of where they stood, such as dungeons and ruins that had been annotated by the traveler that had made the map. The information was hundreds of years out of date, but would still be worth checking out. None of the locations seemed to be inside of the mists, though, and Richter didn't plan on a prolonged excursion today. The moonstone deposit showed that there were probably many other hidden resources close to home. He would have to make exploration more of a priority. Now that Sion had the mapping ring, having up-to-date information about the land surrounding the village should be less of a problem. Despite that, Richter gave Futin another order to bring the topic up with the Chamberlain. Maybe the hunters could draw maps of what they saw, and the scribes could add them together into a larger version.
I say we keep going south and follow the waterway, Richter proposed.
No one else had a better idea, so they were off again. Richter and Sion took point, the same as last time. They moved at a steady, ground-eating pace. Both of the companions kept an eye to the ground, examining the tracks they came across. Their attention to following trails was probably why they were caught completely off guard by the next attack. The river they were following had continued to widen until it was about 20 paces across. Sion had just said that he had found the tracks of a timber warg. He was showing the imprint in the mud to Tirad when a pack of green reptiles exploded out of the water. The attack couldn't have come at a worse time, which was perhaps why the monsters had chosen that specific spot. The war party was strung out in a line along the riverbank.
A stand of thick trees was to their left and had pushed them closer to the water. To make matters worse, the river had just gone around a bend that contained a silt bank, leaving the water turbulent and murky. There was no warning before 7 of the creatures surged out of the water. Before anyone could react, one latched a powerful bite on Bayon's unarmored leg. Another bit Calder on the arm. The sergeant swung his sword, but was only able to strike a glancing blow against his attacker. Both monsters immediately started dragging their prey back into the water. The rest of the pack surged towards the other party members. Richter quickly analyzed one of the monsters to know what they were dealing with. Name, River Scath. Disposition, irritable. These pack hunters hide in the shallows of rivers. Their diet consists mainly of fish and small land creatures, but they are extremely aggressive. Scaths are known to attack parties of adventurers who walk along riverbanks. Their powerful bite is almost impossible to loosen, and scaths will often drown their prey by dragging them to deep water. Though river scaths are air breathers, they can hold their breath for hours. The only warning travelers may receive is the occasional air bubble piercing the surface of the water. Level 14. Health 310. Mana 40. Stamina 350. Strength 16. Agility 15. Dexterity 13. Constitution 31. Endurance 35. Intelligence 4. Wisdom 2. Charisma 7. Luck 10. Bayon screamed as he was yanked into the water. The powerful bite of the river scath was as strong as a vise. When it pulled sharply, the gnome lost his balance and was thrown onto his back. No one was close enough to help, and Richter feared that if the man was pulled all the way into the river, then he would never resurface. Praying that it worked this time, Richter raised his hand and released the paralysis spell stored within his ring. The beam shot towards the scath and locked its body into place. Richter couldn't give any more attention to the alchemist's plight, though, because he was being attacked himself. Two scaths surged towards him. Their bodies were compact like Rottweilers, and their heads were oversized to match. Large, serrated teeth lined their gaping mouths, and green-brown scales covered their body, the perfect camouflage for hiding in the river. Their long claws let them gain purchase in the muddy bank, which is how they were able to close with Richter in just a few seconds. Only two things saved him. One, his spell-hastened body let him jump backwards and dodge the scath's first attack. Two, Alma was a bit of a badass. For the first time in battle, she released her improved Psi Blast. The ability had not only become stronger by reaching level 2, but it also let her narrow or widen the area of effect with a corresponding change in strength. Richter saw just how powerful the concentrated beam could be. The effect was obvious and devastating. The two scaths attacking Richter collapsed to the ground as if their strings had been cut. A small amount of blood also leaked from their noses and eyes. Three more also dropped, including the one that had been holding onto Calder. That unfortunately meant that Calder was caught in the blast, too. The sergeant collapsed along with the scath that had bitten him, and his nose and mouth were cast down into the water. Tirad rushed to help his sergeant, while another scath was attacking Crom. The dwarf cried out, "Eat this, you ugly bastard!" as he swung his ebony hammer diagonally. His target was the scath's large head, something that shouldn't have been hard to miss, but the monster surprised the smith. It bent its legs and flattened its body so that the heavy sledge passed just over its head. The black weapon whistled through the air and buried itself in the soft earth of the riverbank. While Crom tried to free his weapon, the scath sprung up from its hunched position and clamped its powerful jaws on the dwarf's shoulder. Crom lost his grip on the weapon and went down with an oath that sounded more like a curse. Meanwhile, Cedrin and Jean fought together to hold back another three scaths. The guard had his boar spear pointed towards the three monsters, which were slowly stalking forward, undaunted. Jean had scored a lucky shot and had landed his crossbow bolt in the open mouth of a fourth scath. It wasn't dead, but the bolt had pierced the soft tissue on the inside of its throat. It hacked violently as it choked on its own blood. The air mage was trying desperately to reload the crossbow before Cedrin was overwhelmed. Sion and Yulindi retreated a small way to give themselves a better field of fire. The move was almost instinctual, born of thousands of hours each of archery training. The two men knew they needed to be back from the melee in order to have the greatest effect. Unfortunately, the scavs that were engaging the other members of the war party were too close to their comrades for the archers to strike at safely. More monsters were surfacing in the river, though, so the two bowmen kept up a steady rain of arrows, hoping to thin their ranks before they could attack the rest of the war party. Battles were raging all around Richter, but he couldn't rush to his party members' aid just yet. He knew that the stun effect from Alma's Psi Blast would only last for a few seconds, and he had to kill the scavs in front of him while they were helpless. He gave Alma an order to help Bayon and then drew his sword. He stalked towards the two helpless scavs. He cast Soul Trap with his free hand and plunged his sword down through his target's skull. Withdrawing the gore-covered blade, he did the same with the other. A muffled boom echoed from the water, and Richter looked up to see a previously hidden scath reeled back not 5 yards away from his captain. It had not hidden well enough to escape Sion's watchful gaze, and the sprite had managed to strike it with an imbued arrow. The actual arrow strike lost some of its power as the scath was still a foot underwater, but the magic invested into the arrow more than made up for it. A bloom of red blood spread through the water. The captain looked up in gratitude at Sion and tried to pick Calder up out of the water. The scath that had attacked the sergeant still had a death lock on his arm, though. Not wanting it to regain consciousness while he was struggling to save Calder, he knew that he had to kill it while it was helpless. Standing in knee-high water, Tirad drew his sword and stabbed down into the scath's neck. He sawed his dusky gray blade back and forth to increase the bleeding, but still the comatose scath maintained its grip. Knowing he was running out of time, Tirad dropped his sword and grabbed Calder with both arms. He slowly dragged both the sergeant and his attacker out of the water. He silently prayed to the banished gods that the monster died before it could recover its wits, his only hope being that the scath would bleed out before it regained consciousness. Another boom sounded as Sion struck the hidden scath for a second time, giving Tirad cover as he tried to get his compatriot to safety. Krom screamed. The scath still had its mouth clamped on his shoulder, and now had gotten on top of the dwarf. It was raking his chest with its brutal front claws, and only the high quality of Krom's chainmail had kept him from being eviscerated. The defense wouldn't last long, though. As he fought to get free, links on his armor were already snapping. He struggled to get to his dagger, but his belt had shifted thanks to the scath's efforts to maul him, and he couldn't reach the hilt. Having no other recourse, he just kept pounding his fists against the scath's hard skull. Richter stabbed his two stunned enemies twice more to ensure their deaths, but then a scream grabbed his attention. Looking over, he saw Bayon had carefully aimed his crossbow and shot the scath that was holding him in the eye. From the amount of bolt still sticking out of the skull, though, he knew that the gnome's shot hadn't penetrated the brain. The paralysis from Richter's stored spell had elapsed, and the enraged monster was dragging Bayon into deeper water again. The gnome screamed in pain as the monster bit harder into his leg, but was saved by Alma. Diving in, she used her special attack and latched onto the scath's oversized head. The animal screamed in agony, which finally loosened its grip on Bayon's leg. The scath tried to shake off its attacker, but its body would no longer obey the command of its mind. It fell over on its side while Alma continued to drain its memories, health, mana, and stamina. Bayon's leg leaked blood into the water, and the pain he was feeling overwhelmed almost everything else. The one thing that he felt stronger than the agony in his leg, though, was an anger that he spent his life trying to keep at bay. With a furious shout, he contorted his body so he could reach the crossbow bolt sticking out of the scath's eye. Wrapping his hand around the length of metal, he screamed in rage while moving his fist like he was scrambling eggs. Finally, the bolt aligned with the eye socket and the weapon sunk deeper, penetrating the river scath's small brain. The beast's chest deflated as it died. Alma released her grip on the dead monster and rose back into the air. She crowed her triumph at another enemy vanquished and immediately started winging back towards her master to protect him from any other threat. Bayon slumped down over the body of the river scath, both physically pained and emotionally exhausted. The sounds of battle continued to echo around him, but before he could even push himself out of the water, he saw a telltale line of bubbles breaking the surface of the river in front of him. The disturbance was only 20 feet away, and it started moving swiftly towards him. With a cry, he threw himself backwards. His hand extended towards the dead scath, and purple-black energy danced on his fingertips. While Alma had been draining the scath attacking Bayon, Tirad had managed to get Calder safely out of the river. The guard sergeant recovered from Alma's psi blast and fell to his knees, coughing up the river water he had swallowed. Luckily, the scath that had been attacking him had indeed bled to death, relaxing its bite as it died. Tirad drew a dagger to protect the sergeant while he purged the river from his lungs. Cedren's fight was not going well. He had plunged his spear into one of the scaths while the other two lunged. A speeding blue arrow struck the one directly in front of him, but the third scath rammed the guard in his side. Its oversized, thickened skull made the perfect battering ram, and Cedren went down. He fell onto his chest, and the scath that had body-checked him bit savagely into his leg. The teeth penetrated the chainmail leggings, but they at least kept the scath from tearing off a bloody chunk. He screamed as the scath he had stabbed rushed forward as well. Cedren threw up an arm to keep the scath away from his face, but the monster just began to savage his extended hand. It bit off two fingers, then proceeded to bite and destroy the rest of his hand. Cedren screamed. He screamed. The air mage jumped on the back of the scath that was chewing on Cedren's leg. All he had was a steel dagger, though. With Jean's low strength, the blade barely broke through the monster's hide. Each attack drew a small amount of blood, but did little else. Jean didn't stop, though. He kept stabbing, but the monster beneath him kept mauling Cedren's leg, and the guard kept screaming. Richter finally made his way through the river mud to help his fallen guardsmen. Another imbued arrow from Sion struck the scath that was attacking Cedren's hand. It was knocked to the side, but the guard lost another finger as its mouth was ripped away. Richter ran through the mud to attack it while it was vulnerable, stabbed his short sword into its soft underbelly, and yanked the sharp blade up. With a red spray, the scath's guts spilled out onto the ground. It still struggled to get to its feet, but before it could manage it, Richter extended his hand and cast weak flame. Fire shot out from his hand and burned the river scath's flesh. The entrails and skin burned faster than he would have thought possible, and in a few seconds, the scath stopped moving. While her master killed his third scath, Alma had latched on to the head of the monster attacking Cedren's leg. Its jaw loosened, and it fell to the ground, twitching. Jean tumbled free from its back and stumbled over to bandage Cedren's bleeding wounds. Delirious with pain, the man continued to thrash, not understanding that Jean was trying to help him. His wounds bled heavily. Richter ran back over and thrust his short sword into the scath Alma was draining. He thrust his sword into it repeatedly until it finally died as well. While all of this was happening, Crom had finally managed to draw his cobalt dagger and was desperately stabbing the scath on top of him in the neck over and over. The tip of its back claws had made their way through the chainmail on his abdomen and had pierced his stomach in several places. The dwarf's organs remained inside his body, but his stomach was a bloody mess. He kept stabbing, hoping to kill the beast, or at least take it with him through death's door, but his vision began to grow dark. His fingers were losing strength. He knew his fight was done, but then strength suddenly surged through his body again. Richter's life magic began to knit skin and muscle back together, and Crom found the will to stab the creature with renewed vigor. Suddenly, the creature shivered and fell atop the dwarf, hundreds of pounds of dead weight. Crom didn't know how his awkwardly positioned strikes had managed to slay the beast, but he was relieved that it was dead. A second later, Crom discovered the answer to the riddle. He hadn't killed the scath. His lord had. Richter withdrew his sword from the scath's body. The Chaos Seed gave Alma a mental order to summon a life wisp and then stuck his sword in the ground. He grabbed the jaws of the monster lying on top of the smith and pulled with all of his might. In his earth body, there was no way that he would have been able to manage this, but with his strength attribute of 32, it was well within his capability. He felt the sinews of the scath's jaws snap, and he was able to loosen its hold on Crom's shoulder and then kick it off of the dwarf. Crom got to his feet, cursing up a storm. His arm was hanging limp.
"Where is my hammer?"
the dwarf raged.
"It doesn't matter where. Hang back and heal yourself and Cedrin," Richter commanded.
"I can fight,"
Crom spat.
"You're a healer now. Cedrin is dying. Help him."
Crom looked at the bleeding man. His face looked like he had just swallowed something awful, but he did as commanded. Calder and Tirad made their way over to stand with Richter as more bubbles raced towards them from the river. Four more scaths surfaced and began stalking forward. Behind them came another one that was half again as large as the others. Richter analyzed it. Name: Bull River Scath. Disposition: Irritable. The larger of the species, male river scath are often solitary creatures, unlikely to attack unless threatened. The exception to this is during mating season, when one bull will mate with an entire pack of females. Travelers have come to fear meeting a bull in this scenario, as their normal solitary nature is replaced with a horrible belligerence. They can also release magical pheromones to increase the ferocity and strength of female scaths. Level 34. Health 760, mana 210, stamina 610, strength 35, agility 23, dexterity 19, constitution 76, endurance 61, intelligence 21, wisdom 8, charisma 5, luck 11.
Richter shook his head. "This shit just keeps getting better and better. Sion, Yulindi, take out the big one!"
Richter heard Crom muttering an incantation as Tirad took position on his right and Calder stood to his left. Seeing Tirad holding only a dagger, he gritted his teeth, then said, "Take this. Shit's about to get interesting." He shoved his sword into the captain's grasp and then extended his hands. The scaths were only a couple yards away now, staring at the villagers with their teeth bared. The bull scath stood right behind them, and Richter saw a green glow start to surround it. They were out of time.
"Let's do it!"
Sion released, and the blue arrow streaked forward and struck the bull on its haunch with a loud boom. Yulindi's shot struck the bull on the snout. Frost spread outward from the wound. Neither attack stopped the bull scath's ability, though, and a green mist shot out from its body in all directions for 40 feet. It surrounded all of the female scaths, whose claws grew longer and whose muscles grew more defined before Richter's very eyes. Each also seemed to grow several inches in both height and width. The transformation was almost amazing enough to distract from the disgusting fact that he had just gotten bull scath pheromone in his mouth. As he spat it out in irritation, he finally understood the point that Jenny Vanderhorn had tried to make when he was 15. "You just don't do that without asking for permission." He channeled his anger, and after a 1 second cast, his hands snapped together and bathed the lead scath in orange flame. Buffed or not, the scath couldn't withstand the flames, and it scurried away from the assault to take refuge in the river. Before Richter could pursue, the other scaths attacked. The scaths to the far left and right engaged Calder and Tirad respectively. The inner two, however, attacked Richter directly. He swept his flame towards the one on the left, which shied away, but it left him completely open to attack on the right. The scath jumped forward with its mouth open. Its hormone-enraged eyes were bulging as it swiftly closed the distance. There was no way that Richter could dodge, but once again, his soul familiar saved the day. Lightning fired from above and struck the scath, short-circuiting its system. 300 pounds of enraged river scath cow struck Richter at the speed of a run, but it didn't have the ability to bite down for a couple crucial seconds. Nonetheless, Richter was knocked down with the scath falling to his side. When he hit the ground, he looked over to see the scath's stunned form, the mouth not 6 inches from his face. He swiftly rolled away as it struggled to regain its wits. Before he had gone more than a foot, though, a massive set of jaws closed on his left thigh. The scath that Richter had burned had rejoined the fight. Calder and Tara did their best to stand firm against the assault of their respective scaths. They both knew that they had to keep the scaths away from the injured party members. Even with the Elementum sword, though, the magically enraged scath attacking Tarad was barely kept at bay. Calder had already received another bleeding injury to the hip. A constant staccato of booms told the story of Scion's attacks on the bull scath, but the sprite wasn't able to put much energy into each strike because of the speed of attack. Crom saw all of this while kneeling over Cedrin's still form. The man still breathed, thanks to the dwarf's healing spells, but he had swooned and was defenseless. Jean was busy casting weak haste on all of the party members and was still trying to reload his crossbow. Calder went down as a scath rushed forward and bit his leg. Tarad was pulled farther from the group, trying to keep his opponent at bay. Richter was stabbing the scath, biting him with a dagger, but it wasn't releasing its savage hold, and the only reason he hadn't been killed by the other was that Alma was attached to its head. The scath was down, but the dragonling was also out of the fight. To make matters worse, the larger scath was almost close enough to join the fight again despite Scion and Yulindi's withering fire. When he saw two more shambling forward through the river, he knew that the fight was over. The two scaths approached Tarad and the reptile he was fighting. The captain came to the same conclusion as Richter, knowing that he couldn't hold off three scath. As he prepared for a last suicidal lunge, his only thought was of Isabella. Before he could complete his attack, though, the two scaths surged forward and bit into the scath Tarad had been fighting. None could ever say who was more surprised, the beleaguered monster or the captain. But Tarad wasn't going to waste the moment. The two scaths had bitten into his opponent's arm and leg. The monster roared in protest, but Richter's companion wasn't interested in fair. The captain shoved the elementum blade through its open mouth and up into its brain. Its body froze for a second before crumpling to the ground. Tarad withdrew the sword and prepared to defend himself from the other two, but they were already shambling towards the bull scath. Now that he had a moment, he could clearly see that one had a crossbow bolt sticking out of its eye, and the other had a fist-sized hole in its side, dripping black ooze. A loud shout made him look to the right just in time to see Bayon thrust his hand forward and finish an incantation. A purple-black disc with a white, chattering skull in the middle shot from the gnome's hand and struck the bull scath broadside. It rocked back from the blow and roared in pain for the first time. Tarad stared at the alchemist in disbelief, but then Richter's scream of pain brought him back to the reality of the moment. He turned around and saw that his liege was straining to keep the snapping jaws of a scath away from his face. Crom had joined the fight and was bashing the scath in the head with a rock, but between the monster's thick skull and its enraged status, it barely noticed the smith's futile efforts. Jean had finally loaded another bolt, but couldn't get a clear shot on anyone, so he just kept the crossbow up and waited for his moment. Tarad ran forward a few more feet and plunged the short sword hilt deep into the scath attacking Richter. The pain of the blade piercing its internal organs got through to the monster in a way that Crom's rock bashing had not. It reared on its hind legs as its back arched in pain. Blood sprayed on Tarad and Crom's faces as the captain withdrew the sword. Damaged, but not defeated, Richter snarled up at the scath from his position underneath it. Before it had time to fall again, he forced a spell form to coalesce in his mind as he made the necessary movements with both hands. His wrists clapped together of their own volition, and he spat, "Igno!" A gout of orange flame shot up into the scath's belly, roasting it. Again, the skin blackened and charred faster than should have been possible. The monster reared back even further to escape the dreaded fire, and its back legs slipped out from underneath it. As it crashed to the ground, Richter sat up, keeping an unrelenting stream of fire on the scath. It rolled on the ground, but was too overcome with pain to form the coherent thoughts needed for escape. As the scath screamed and squirmed under the onslaught, Tarad shouted for Richter to cease his attack so he could finish the beast. Richter, savoring his enemy's pain, heard nothing. It took Crom grabbing his arm and shouting that they still had to fight the big one for him to stop his spell. With the horrible heat gone, Tarav stabbed the scat in the abdomen. Its flesh crumbled like charcoal, and the captain met almost no resistance as the blade claimed the scat's life. Richter stood up and looked around, taking stock of the situation. The archers had scored against the bullscath multiple times, but it showed no signs of slowing. Jean had managed to fire and successfully hit the scath that had been fighting Calder, judging by the bolt sticking from the creature's side. The sergeant must have used the distraction to attack and behead the river monster. An overlarge reptilian head lay next to the body, weakening spurts of blood still coming from its ragged stump of a neck. Alma had finished draining her scath and was hovering in the air nearby. Cedrin was still passed out, but the bleeding had slowed thanks to tourniquets Crom had fashioned out of strips from his shirt. The dwarf had regained his hammer. His shoulder was healed enough to hold the large weapon, but he was still clearly favoring one side. Tarad stood ready with the elementum sword held down at his side, staring at the bull scath, and Baen stood far off to the side, looking between the last scath and his party. His face was a collision of fear, anger, and uncertainty. Richter turned his attention to the Bull River scaff. The entire party had stopped their attack and were watching the confusing tableau focused around the male scaff. The large monster was still fighting one of the traitorous scaff cows that had come to Tarad's aid. The other had been torn in half, though the top half still seemed to be trying to reach the bull by clawing its way forward on its front paws. The remaining scath was down on its back, with the bull's massive foreleg on its abdomen. As Richter watched, the bull bit down on one of the smaller scath's legs and, with a massive wrench, pulled the leg free. A spray of blood covered the ground at the moment of separation, but no more blood spurted from the severed shoulder. The scath didn't scream or give any indication that the loss of its limb troubled it. It just kept trying to bite the bull. Richter stared at it, confused. He activated Analyze. Name, weak reanimated river scath. Disposition, neutral. Level, 3. Health, 120. Mana, 0. Stamina, 450. The corpse of a river scath that has been reanimated. The level of this reanimated monster is substantially reduced, and its values and characteristics are adjusted accordingly. The exception to this is that its stamina is increased. It will feel no pain and will only be destroyed by massive tissue trauma or damage to its central nervous system. Strength, 16. Agility, 15. Dexterity, 13. Constitution, 31. Endurance, 35. Intelligence, 4. Wisdom, 2. Charisma, 7. Luck, 10. Richter wasn't sure how much longer the small zombie would distract the bull, but he didn't think it would be long. He cast weak slow heal and then focused on the present moment. He cleared his mind, and his hands wove in sync. Words of power flowed from his tongue. Each syllable grew harder to speak until it felt like he was trying to swallow a cracker after being denied water for a week. Despite that, he knew that this fight had to end. Cedrin had to be taken home as soon as possible, where Sumiko could minister to him. So Richter focused his entire will upon the casting and forced the final sound from his lips. The casting was complete. Richter felt the power he had manifested pierce the skein of reality, and a 6-foot-tall green disc appeared in the air. The scent of evergreen flooded his nostrils, and a creature stepped through the gateway. This sapling was larger than the last, and it took the form of a 5.5-foot-tall grass-covered stag with prehensile tentacles rising from its back. Richter's head felt like it was splitting open from the strain of finishing the dual casting, but he mustered the fortitude to shout, "Attack!" Sion and Yulindi resumed their fire upon the monster, which roared in response. It ripped the head off of the scath underneath it, and the small creature collapsed, limp to the muddy bank. The scath ran at the party, but was intercepted by the sapling. The earth creature rammed its horns into the bull. The black prongs on top of the stag's head pierced the monster in the neck and chest. The bull roared again, trying to bring its sharp claws to bear against the sapling, but the tentacles on the summoned creature's back whipped forward to wrap around the front limbs and thick neck of its enemy. Sion and Yulindi continued their ranged attack, and Bayon cast his skull spell again. Another dark purple disc with a white skull in the middle shot from his hand and impacted against the bull. Both Monster and Sapperling were staggered by the spell, but didn't fall. Jean shot his crossbow at the struggling pair, but ended up hitting the Sapperling instead. Luckily, the mage's poor aim didn't seem to have an effect either way. Tirad looked at Calder and said, "Shall we join the fun?" Calder plucked at his bloodied chainmail and said, "I didn't get all dressed up for nothing." Both guards ran in to attack the bull from the sides. A snapping noise brought Richter's attention to the fact that the Sapperling could not match strength for strength with the powerful bull. Already, the monster had pulled one of its arms free, severing the vines holding it in the process, as well as snapping off part of the Sapperling's horn. Unlike the first Sapperling Richter had summoned, this one did not remain mute. It screamed in an all-too-human voice as it was ripped apart by the scath. Richter ran forward but stayed out of the general melee. He cast Weak Slow. A blue aura surrounded the bull for a split second, and afterwards, it was just a touch slower. Tirad and Calder attacked from either side, drawing blood but not achieving any true damage against its thick scales and head. Bayon seemed to not have another offensive spell, and the cooldown on the last had not elapsed, so he was more or less useless for the moment. Once again, the archers couldn't fire with impunity for fear of striking their comrades, and Crom's ability to fight had been greatly compromised. Whatever had happened to his shoulder was a type of injury that weak, slow heal couldn't fix. The battle was up to Richter, Tirad, and Calder, he realized. A second later, he was shown how wrong he was when Alma released a bolt of lightning from above. The yellow energy forked through the air and impacted the bull scath on its back. It roared louder than before, and a black scorch mark appeared on its back. It freed its other arm and hammered the Sapperling to the ground with a mighty blow. The forest creature tried to rise again, but the bull scath knocked the deer's head free with a mighty swipe of its claws. Green blood flowed thick from what was left of its neck. With the Sapperling disposed of, the bull looked up to target the dragonling, but Alma wisely remained high and out of reach. Not having to worry about hitting the Sapperling anymore, Richter dual-cast Weak Flame again. Trying to attack Alma had made the compact creature rise up and present its chest. The lance of fire burned into the bull's breast, charring the skin and muscle beneath. Sion and Yulindi released their shots in a short window of opportunity as well. Yulindi's ice arrow struck the bull's face, paining it, but Sion couldn't ignore the tempting target of the bull's chest. The imbued arrow struck with concussive force in almost the exact same spot as Richter's flame. The sprite had poured almost every mana point he had into the shot. In truth, Sion had feared losing control of his imbuement, and soon would have had to fire the arrow just to avoid damaging himself, but instead, the timing worked out perfectly. When the arrow hit, ripples of force propagated through the monster's whole body, and it was thrown backwards. Even Calder and Tirad, who were still harrowing its flanks, were thrown onto their backs. The combined damage was too much for the bull scath. It struggled to rise, but it had a ragged crater in its chest. Analyze showed that it had only 30 health left. Richter sent out a mental call to his familiar, and he cast Soul Trap on his prone enemy. Alma latched onto the bull scath, which tried to whip its head back and forth to reach the dragonling. Its motions were weak, however. The last thing the monster heard was Igno! Before more flames poured into the hole in its chest and consumed its heart. A ribbon of rainbow light spun through the air. All was silent. Chapter 16, Day 103, Carolt 22, 15,368 EBG. Richter ran over to Cedrin and cursed when he saw the damage the man had sustained. There were large, bleeding holes in his leg where the scath had bitten him. Far worse was his hand, though. Only two fingers remained, thumb and index. The rest had been torn off. Two were lying on the ground not far away, but of the pinky there was no sign. Richter looked at the scene and started barking orders. "Futin,
Teleport back to the Great Seal and tell Randolphus what has happened. Tell Sumiko that we have injured and that Cedrin will need to have his fingers reattached. She should prepare whatever she needs to so that they can be reattached without delay.
He wanted to have another guard detail dispatched, but they would have no way to accurately find him in the wild. The last thing Richter wanted was for another group of his villagers to be attacked.
As you command, my lord,
Futin replied.
The inner glow in the floating orb flared to the point of being blinding, and with a clap of